This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. After Jeopardy! Host Alex Trebek announced he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer, many took the diagnosis as a death sentence. The American Cancer Society estimates that just 3% of patients with pancreatic cancer at that stage will survive beyond 5 years after diagnosis. So it was surprising when the 78-year-old Trebek announced he was making a recovery and was near remission. According to our next guest, Dr. Douglas Evans, this is part of a pattern of increasingly effective treatments for the deadly cancer. Dr. Evans is the chair of the Department of Surgery at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he's an expert on pancreatic cancer. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and began by answering a simple but common question. What exactly does the pancreas do?
The pancreas has two main functions. It's an organ that sits in the back of the abdomen. It's in a very complicated part of the human anatomy, nestled in the back of the upper abdomen. Behind the stomach, it's intimately attached with the intestine and the bile duct and the liver. So the pancreas has two main functions. Number one, it makes digestive enzymes, which help you digest your food. So in response to eating food, the pancreas is stimulated to secrete digestive enzymes into the pancreatic duct and then out into the duodenum, or the first part of the small intestine. The second function of the pancreas is as an endocrine organ. It makes a number of hormones, the most common being insulin. But you certainly can live without a pancreas. It's just that you would require insulin to maintain a normal blood sugar.
Yeah, so it seems like pancreas issues are somewhat common, actually. And maybe that plays into this. It seems when people first develop pancreatic cancer, there aren't a lot of symptoms.
That's true. Pancreas cancer is especially important in Wisconsin because right now pancreatic cancer in Wisconsin is the second leading cause of adult cancer death, behind only lung cancer. In the United States, it currently is the fourth leading cause of adult cancer death, about to overtake breast cancer as number three. But in Wisconsin, pancreatic cancer is particularly common, and we do not have a blood test for early diagnosis. So if anyone listening is familiar with prostate cancer, most men routinely get a PSA, prostate-specific antigen test, as part of their routine physical exam. Oftentimes, in patients with colon and rectal cancer, their doctor will check a carcinoembryonic antigen, or a CEA. For pancreas cancer, we don't have a blood test, and the incidence is relatively low. For every million population, the incidence of pancreas cancer is only about 150 people. So the likelihood of getting pancreas cancer is relatively low. The problem is that while our treatments have become incredibly more effective and successful, especially over the past decade, the mortality from this disease is still relatively high. And the symptoms can be very, very subtle in many cases. Only 150 will be affected by the disease, and perhaps only 25% of them will get jaundiced or yellow. So the other 75% of the 150 will just have indolent symptoms of not feeling well, maybe a little upper abdominal discomfort, a little indigestion, just not the energy that they would expect. But still, you know, out of the myriad of people who may complain of a little dyspeptic symptom or a little indigestion or a little upper abdominal discomfort, it will be a tiny, tiny minority that will actually have a pancreatic cancer. So you can see that the challenge for doctors. I mean, we have to be good stewards of medical technology, and it's very difficult to simply say, I'm going to do a CT scan or an MRI on everyone. Probably the single most sensitive symptom and sign right now is in older adults, if the blood sugar goes up, their body weight usually is in parallel with that. In other words, as people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s begin to have a problem with an elevation in blood sugar, it usually is because they're eating a little too much and their weight is going up. If the blood sugar goes up and the weight goes down, that is a fairly common sign of pancreas cancer and one that would warrant imaging with a CT scan or an MRI.
Although it is relatively rare, as you mentioned, pancreatic cancer is responsible for a disproportionate number of cancer deaths. What makes this cancer so deadly? Is it just that it's not very detectable, or is it a more aggressive cancer?
Well, it does spread to other parts of the body fairly early. And right now, with respect to our ability to cure the disease, this is somewhat similar to many other solid tumors, such as certainly tumors of the liver, stomach, esophagus. Once the cancer has spread outside of the primary organ, so in this case, once the pancreas cancer has spread to another part of the body, even though our ability to treat the patient has become vastly improved over 5 and 10 years ago, the patient in most cases will not be cured, so that the overall cure rate is relatively low, since perhaps 30 to 35% of patients present initially with a pancreas cancer that is operable and has not spread to other parts of the body. And then secondly, pancreas cancer can cause the death of a patient with a much lower tumor burden than occurs with, for example, breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. Many patients, and oftentimes patients' families, will say, well, how will I die? How will the cancer cause my death? And even though we've done incredible amounts of research in this area, we actually don't have the answer to that simple question. But basically, cancers convert the normal ability of the body to translate nutrients and other products that keep us living. In the setting of a more advanced cancer, the body loses its ability to maintain itself.
There is, of course, a very prominent survivor, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, I'm not sure how much you know about her treatment, but what made her cancer less deadly than others?
Well, we don't know. I mean, you know, she was treated with an operation first and then received, to the best of my knowledge, then received chemotherapy afterwards. And in fact, now the trend throughout the entire United States is towards reversing the order of treatments in people with operable cancer. But she had a relatively small tumor in the pancreas that was surgically excised. And now in retrospect, we can say that she didn't have, the cancer had not spread to any other part of her body. And, you know, the whole biology behind why and how cancer spreads to other parts of the body is just fascinating, because clearly each different type of cancer has its own predilection to spread to certain areas in the body. So, for example, pancreas cancer most frequently spreads to the liver, occasionally the lining of the tummy, and occasionally the lung. Almost never goes to the brain, very rarely goes to the bone. Patients rarely develop nodules in their skin, as opposed to melanoma, which can spread to other parts of the skin very commonly. Breast cancer can obviously spread to the brain, similar to kidney cancer. So you can see it's fascinating how there is, if you will, a seed and soil hypothesis behind why certain tumors may spread to other parts of the body. And then secondly, why in some patients the tumor cells are unsuccessful in setting up a home in, for example, the liver. If we take pancreas cancer, Judge Ginsburg, obviously her pancreas tumor, even though it had access to the bloodstream probably a year or 2 or 3 years prior to her diagnosis, those circulating tumor cells never implanted in her liver or in her lung. Therefore, when her tumor was removed, she was, if you will, cured. And why she was cured and someone else with an exactly identical CT scan is not cured is really a mystery that we haven't yet, as of now, solved. We do believe, however, that for those patients who have a small amount of cancer, so microscopic cancer that really can't be detected in other parts of the body at the time they're diagnosed, they may actually be cured with a change in the paradigm of how we treat them. And that's why currently in 2019, we typically begin first with chemotherapy. Then we add in some radiation, and we have a few really neat and exciting innovative clinical trials here at the Medical College of Wisconsin that capitalize on all of this. And then after the radiation, then consider surgery. So kind of the opposite treatment that Judge Ginsburg received.
Well, and so much has changed in the last 20 years since she was first diagnosed. What do you see as the most exciting things that are currently happening in pancreatic cancer care? And what do you see as the future of this type of care?
Sure. Approximately a year and a half ago, we closed the first clinical trial of personalized medicine performed anywhere in the world for patients with operable pancreas cancer. And that clinical trial has now been published. And that was the first trial in the world which biopsied the tumors. And then the genetic profile of those tumor cells was then developed. And based upon that genetic profile, we could infer whether certain chemotherapy drugs would be effective or ineffective against that patient's tumor. And so each patient received somewhat of a unique, personalized, and slightly different treatment with the idea that that treatment would be more effective. Sure enough, that actually came to be true when we analyzed the results of 130 patients that were treated here with chemotherapy, selected specifically for them based on the molecular profile of their tumor, followed by radiation therapy, and then their tumor was surgically excised. The tumor was then reprofiled at a genetic level, and in some patients, they received additional chemotherapy after that. So building on that clinical trial, what we're doing now is we're saying, you know, we really need to find out much more quickly whether the treatment is effective or ineffective. I think there are probably some people listening who have a relative or a friend or perhaps even themselves who received chemotherapy or some treatment for a cancer of some kind, and the treatment proved to be ineffective.
Well, and to just take a step back, I think a lot of people are unclear that chemotherapy isn't a one-size-fit-all kind of drug, that there are, in fact, many different kinds of chemotherapy.
Absolutely, and they're specific for the organ where the tumor arose from, and they're also specific for the genetic mutational spectrum that the tumor may have. So we're now realizing even that that treating patients based upon where the cancer arose from, lung, breast, pancreas, liver, may actually not be as important as the genetic underpinning of the tumor itself. And that's a whole nother area of research. What we're doing in our current clinical trial is we're just taking that simple clinical observation that many of the listeners have appreciated, that sometimes the treatment works and sometimes it doesn't work. And we're saying, well, can we make that decision really early? After just 6-8 weeks of treatment, can we make the determination as to whether this treatment is the best it can be for this patient based upon a variety of parameters, CT scans, blood tests, various other measurements? And then if it's working very well and the cancer is regressing, continue it. But if things aren't better, they can't just be stable, they have to be better, then we change treatments. So I think really a much more active, dynamic way to treat pancreas cancer than has ever been done before.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Evans, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work with us.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Douglas Evans is the chair of the Department of Surgery at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he's an expert on pancreatic cancer. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.